Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. Today's reading is John chapter 14, verse 23 to 29. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
These are the words that Pastor Steve wrote several weeks ago, actually. He's very well organized. He already has a sermon written for next week. But they're a nice big print, so hopefully I can read them so you will understand. In the very last book of our Holy Scriptures, the Revelation of John, or Revelation as we know it, John of Patmos describes in much detail as he can the heavenly city that at the end of time will come down out of heaven from God. Am I reading? There will be no temple or church in the city. Moving outside the walls of the church will not be an issue then, simply because there will be no church. There will be no need of one. Now we'll see if I can do this. Ah. For God, the Almighty and the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ, will live right here in the midst of the city. Our passage from the Gospel of John shows us that this very real presence of God in our midst begins with even now. In verse 22, just prior to this passage, another disciple with the same first name, the other Judas, son of James, we also might know him as Thaddeus, not Jesus Iscariot, Judas Iscariot, excuse me, who is at this moment in the process of betraying Jesus, says to Jesus, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Judas' question isn't our question as much as it is his. Unlike him, we do not have Jesus here in the flesh with us, and yet Jesus is with us. Jesus is, perhaps even more so now than then, present in the world. And Jesus, whom God sent into the world, because God loves the world, intends to reveal himself to the world in the same way that he first revealed himself to his disciples. Jesus will be present in the world in the same way that he was present among his disciples. This is the only way that the goal of salvation of the world can be accomplished. In Jesus' answer to this Judas is contained the why, the how, and the where of Jesus' presence in the world. In Jesus' answer, we see the beginning and the first fruit of the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, the city of God that will eventually flower right here in the world and in whose midst God will dwell. Jesus' answer outlines a divine, human relationship. This relationship is means by which God is and will be present in the world. This relationship has three partners. There is Jesus, there is God, and there are those who love Jesus. "Those who love me," Jesus says, "will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." When we get to know Jesus through study, worship, and prayer, we are moved by love for him. Our growing love for him moves us to keep his words and to follow his example. And in response to this love of ours, Jesus and the Father come to us and make their home with us and among us. As he is living this teaching to other Judas and to the rest of the disciples, Jesus knows that Judas Iscariot is even then in the midst of betraying him to those who, for various reasons, want him out of the way permanently. Jesus knows that the moment is right on top of them, when he will no longer be physically present among them. And so he is telling them now of spiritual things, for want of a better word. He is assuring them that he will be actually fully present among them, even though he will soon be physically gone. In Jesus' absence, God will provide, in Greek, is called the paraclete, the advocate. A paraclete is literally a defense attorney. This name comes from the Greek word parakletos, which means someone who helps and guides others. It is also another name for counselor or lawyer. How is this image of lawyer related to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit speaks for us just as the lawyer speaks for us in legal cases. What we have come to call the Holy Spirit. When we love Jesus and hold to his teachings, the presence of God is truly among us in the Holy Spirit. When we truly love Jesus and commit ourselves to keeping his word, Jesus and God the Father come to reside among us and give us strength and courage. In this final teaching to his disciples, just before his death, Jesus is assuring them that he leaves them above all with peace. Real, physical, actual peace. And not the distress and trouble that generally happen in the world when one we love and have come to rely on permanently departs. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus says. Don't be afraid. Yes, I am going away. I'm going to be handed over to the enemy and killed. But I'm going to take my place in the presence of God forever. And because I am going to do this, I will be able to be present among you all again in a way that is not possible now. This is going to happen among you shortly. I'm telling you this now so that you will know what's going on when it happens. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give with one hand and take away with the other, as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Just as the question of the other Judas, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world, is our question, so too are Jesus' words for us, parting words from the Lord who has not really departed. Now as then, Jesus leaves us with peace. We today can have access, even now, not only to some vaguely defined peace, in quotes, the blithe, have a nice day, complete with the smiley face that the world offers more times than we can count, but real peace, God's peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that can carry us through our stormy life, whatever stormy life throws at us. Jesus does not offer us peace. Jesus stands and knocks at the door, ready to hand us peace and to live right here among us and help us live that peace. But Jesus does not give as the world gives. The peace that Jesus offers has to The peace that Jesus has to offer does not lift us gently over and above the storms. The peace Jesus offers gets in the boat with us and sails right into their midst. What are the storms that threaten us? Across the nation, church membership is declining. Worship attendance is declining. Not half as many people, not half as many families come to church as did 30, 40, 50 years ago. The community around us, the world around us, is changing faster than we can keep up with. The people around us now more and more are not like us. They have different needs, different expectations of life, and of course we have the usual suspects of crime, war, terrorism, poverty, racism, hatred, incivility, plain old meanness in our faces every day. All of this is a scratching of the surface of what we are up against. Is there any wonder why our hearts are troubled? And yet Jesus promises us peace. He promised it to the other Judas, who faced circumstances even more dire than ours, and he promises it to us. How do we activate that peace? By loving one another as Jesus loves us. We begin with the simple fact that for mysterious reasons that we can't fully understand and don't really need to, we have been drawn at some point in our lives to love Jesus. Each of us here today is moved in one way or another by the love for Jesus. We need to love one another as Jesus loves us. How have you experienced the love of Jesus in your life? Look to your left. Look to your right. Look behind you, in front of you. You need to love the brothers and sisters around you here in that way. It starts right here, right now. We need to let that love for Jesus carry us into keeping his word. We need to spend a part of each day studying Jesus' life and teaching, the words about him and what have been handed down to us. We need to be readers of the red letters. The words of Jesus highlighted in the Gospels by red letters, if your Bibles have the red letter editions. Take the Shane Claiborne challenge and become a red letter Christian. Join the red letter revolution. We also need to spend a part of each day in prayer and meditation, allowing his presence among us to come alive in us more and more every day. And finally, we need to let our love for him carry us out of ourselves, out of our homes, out of our church building, and out into the world, just as the love of Jesus Christ for us carried him out of his home, out of his religious community, and out into the Gentile world and the world of foreigners, outsiders, the profane, the unclean. We need to reach out to strangers and outsiders, just as Jesus did, and let them know the love of God and the Jesus Christ we know. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let the peace of Jesus Christ that we have come to know so well carry us out of here, not around the storms. We can't get around the storms. They are all around us. Let the peace offered by the presence of Jesus carry us without fear straight into the heart of the storm. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.